He's a romantic. Turn to the book of Galatians. We were teaching in January and we got up to the end of chapter 3. Look at a few verses. Verse 13 of chapter 3, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. One of the things he's teaching in Galatians is justification by faith without any works of the law. And this is a problem in many, many churches today. Many religions today, they have faith plus works. And if you don't have the works, then your faith is no good. And there's a certain amount of truth to that, but not in the case of salvation. Salvation is completely a gift. It has nothing to do with your works. Works are a result or a fruit, not the root. And he says down in verse 16, 3:16, now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. His seed, singular. He saith not, and to seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, and he defines it for you, which is Christ. Christ is the seed that inherits all the promises to Abraham. So then when you come over to verse 24, wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ that we might be justified by faith. Why? What serves the law? It makes me know I'm a sinner. And it makes me know I can't fulfill it. If I ever try to fulfill it, it makes me know I can't fulfill it. So I'm left hanging. What in the world can I do? Well, I have to run to Christ. There's no place else for me to go. So he says in verse 27, so as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you're all one in Christ Jesus. Now that doesn't mean that in this life women aren't women and men aren't men. That has nothing to do with it. What it has to do is in Christ you're a son of God. In Christ, you've been elevated above whatever distinctions you have in this life. In Christ, you're His Son. You're indwelt by the Spirit of God. Now look at verse 29. And if you be Christ, then are you Abraham's seed, singular, and heirs according to the promise. Wow. Man, you know what you've got? The Holy Spirit dwells inside of you. And that means Christ dwells inside of you. And that means you legitimately look up to God as Father. Because He's in you. You are the seed that inherits because Christ is in you. It's a beautiful thing. Well, let's read about the first four or five verses. I'll read the first six and then we'll pray. Chapter 4 of Galatians. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all, but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba. That means Father. Let's pray. Father, we do thank You this day for the Word of God in our hands and for the opportunity to read it, to be able to read and to fellowship with believers and openly preach and teach Your Word and all the freedoms You've blessed us with. We thank You this day. I ask You that You would help each of us in all of our Sunday school classes, that may Your Word go and touch people's hearts and change lives. Give me a freedom and ease to speak that only You can give, and bless all that hear. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all. You've probably all heard of Alexander the Great. You might even read a book or two. I'm sure there have been many a movie made about Alexander the Great. He was the son of a king. The king of Macedon. Philip of Macedon was his father. And he was a king. And what he did for his son was he brought the greatest philosopher of his day. He bought him. He hired him. He brought him to be his son's tutor. When Alexander the Great takes over the throne, he's not an ignorant kid. And probably not a very spoiled one in a whole lot of senses, because he had a very good teacher. And one of the things that Alexander the Great did all his life, in all of his battles, you know, he never lost a battle. In all his wars, he never lost a battle. He was outnumbered many times. You know, they still study his methods of warfare right now. He had a good teacher. I'll bet you that teacher made him toe the line. He's king. He's going to be king. He's going to control most of the known world in his day. He's going to win battles that going into them, you think there's no way. But he does. Now, so he is the future king, but he's got a governor. He's got a tutor. Somebody telling him, get your homework done. Somebody telling him, no, that's not good enough. And you know what I think? I think in the school system we have today, we better watch out what we're doing. We're bragging on everything, including failure. You need to be honored when you've done something to be honored for. Self-esteem is not a real good thing if you have a very high opinion of yourself and you're not very high. That leaves you in a bad way. And when you get out to work, you think the boss ought to brag on you like that too. And he's not going to do it. And you think the police ought to let you off just like your mom and daddy did. I got a bunch of policemen in this room. We're well protected. I would feel sorry for the poor dumb thief that come in here and thought he was going to get something. He'd get something all right. He'd carry a lead package out with him. He's the heir. He's the heir to the throne. He's going to be one of the most remembered names in all of history. One of the greatest conquerors that ever lived. One of the greatest generals that... What are we? 2400 years after his death, and we're still studying his methods? I mean, the generals, the war colleges, they still study his methods. And to think, can you say you never lost a fight? Muhammad Ali can't say that. Joe Louis can't say that. Greatest fighters in the world. They're not meaning to say anything like that. Never lost a fight? And yet, as long as he is a child, he differed nothing from a servant. He's going to be the king, but take out that garbage out there. Run, go pick up the rocks on this field and put them on that field over there. I want you to help me build this right here. Why am I doing this? Because I'm teaching you. I've told you, I'm sure I've told a lot of people, it's a very unusual experience for me. I was used to doing things because they made sense. Not because somebody just told me what to do. Well, I joined the Air Force, and those old boys from World War II were my teachers. And they shaved my head. My duck's butt that I had up here went off real quick. And I was in clothes that didn't fit. I mean, my crotch was down to my knees, and I wasn't even modern. The shoes were too big. And they walked me out there one day, me and 69 other guys. You see all these rocks here? We want them over there. What? Yeah, get with it. And so we carried all day. All day. We took a break for lunch, whatever, all day. We carried rocks from one field to this other field. We didn't understand why. It didn't make any sense to us. You know what we did the next day? They took us to the other field and we carried those rocks back to the field where we got them from. Don Welborn worked for one of the big automobile manufacturing places up around Fort Worth. He told me a story similar. He said they hired him. They gave him a foreman, Foreman took them out the first day, and they went out and had all these brand new parts for cars. And they gave him a sledgehammer, and he spent all day long beating those parts up. What are they trying to tell you to do? Obey what we tell you. You know what they want you to do in the army? They don't want you to think. Not unless you get in trouble. Then they'll blame you for not thinking. But all the rest of the time they're telling you, you obey. Instantly. You obey. You move. I mean, when I say move, you move. You don't say why. You don't say how far. You say, yes, sir. They taught me, yes, sir, no excuse, sir. I still remember those answers. I still remember my Social Security number. I mean, my Air Force number. It wasn't a Social Security number in those days. I think I'll have that remembered in heaven. What is the tutor doing to the king? He's trying to give him some wisdom. And evidently, he did a pretty good job. Some of these people have some very good tutors, and sometimes they don't all have the same methods. Have you ever had a good teacher? Now, not all your teachers were good teachers, but by the grace of God, you got quite a few teachers, so you get a stinker. I try to teach my children in going to school because I am a teacher, was a teacher in the public school system. The teacher cannot conform to 34 of you or 45 of you. I taught 48 in some English classes back in my day. 48, one class in middle school. That teacher, no matter how good he or she is, cannot conform to the wishes of 48 people or even 22 people. You have to conform to the teacher. Now, I know some parents are forgetting that today, and a lot of laws seem to be forgetting that today, but that's what the teacher's for. And I look back on the teachers I had, and I had some that were sorry, but boy, most of them were just pretty good. Most of them I taught with. Out of the 45 teachers in the last school I was at, there might have been three or four that were pitiful. But the rest of them, they made up for those three or four. And so you have one knockoff class, but man, you had five pretty good ones. And if you'd have paid attention in some of those knockoff classes and not been such an idiot, you'd have probably learned something there too. You have a teacher, and a teacher has to have control, and without control, people aren't going to learn like they ought to learn. Now, Alexander the Great is the heir. He's going to become king. He's going to become a great king. He's going to die young. Some people say he died in a drunken stupor. Others that he had like an epileptic seizure or some sort of a fit like that and died. But he died about 33 years old. He accomplished everything he accomplished between 19 and 33. He had a good teacher. His daddy made sure he had a good teacher. Now, that's a pretty smart dad in some ways. Now, he wasn't a good guy all around. Don't misunderstand me. Alexander the Great wasn't a good guy all around. He was a great general, not a good guy. You're an heir. You know what I just told you in these last days? I love Galatians. Beautiful. Salvation by faith without any works of the law. Christ became our sacrifice. He became our curse that you and I could be blessed. And with the indwelling of the Spirit of God, I'm made a son and an heir, and I'm legitimately thinking upon God as Father. But I'm an heir. But I'm a servant. I'm a child. He said, not much difference. If you're a child, well, I'm rich and I'm this and I'm that. Well, no, you're a child. You still got to obey that poor teacher. That teacher don't have the money or the power that your dad has, but you got to obey him. Why? He's trying to get something across to you. Well, what is the law? Our schoolmaster. The law is our teacher. Paul said, I didn't know it was wrong to lust after things, except the law said, thou shalt not covet. Well, you and I come up against that law, and what do we find ourselves? Sinner. Every time. You decide to be, you're going to have real willpower. You're going to really live a good life. Go ahead. Work at it, but you won't be perfect. If you're honest, you're going to find out I fail every day. With the most sincere effort. I mean, I can work and get all these 95 areas perfect, but then there's this one. So I turn around and work on that one. And then there's those 95. You understand what I'm saying? The law is my school teacher. It says, you need help. The law comes up before me and says, sinner, 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 sinner. Oh no, but I'm righteous. I'm living for God. I'm doing this. Sinner, sinner. You know what he's still telling me? Sinner. I look in the mirror and my sin testifies to my face. Yours does too. And some of it doesn't show as much. And some of you are gluttons and just don't get fat. And some of you are so skinny, if you ate double portions of pie for the next year, you wouldn't gain a pound. I used to think Don Welburn had a hollow leg. He out-ate me every time we sat down to eat. He was a good friend for a long time. And that sucker could eat. The big old tall thin guy. He never gained any pounds. We fasted. Both of us fasted together and prayed for about a week. I don't know, I lost about 10 pounds. He lost 5 pounds. I gained mine back in 2 weeks. He gained his back in a year. Took him a year to get his 5 pounds back. When I see the law, what does it tell me? Failure. You don't fulfill it. I've heard people tell me, well, I'm just living by the Ten Commandments. No, you're dying by the Ten Commandments. You're not living by the Ten Commandments. You're dying by the Ten Commandments. Because I don't care how good you are on 9 of them, you're going to miss one. And let me tell you the one you're going to miss most of all and never recognize it. Number one. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy mind, with all thy soul, with all thy strength. You haven't done that a single day in your life. Not even the day you got saved. I'm living by the golden rule. I treat everybody just like I want to be treated. Yeah, right. You may be the sweetest person in this church. You just may be. And some of you think you are. And you think that mean old Brother Lendell, you know, and I'm so sweet, I'm so much better than he is. Yeah. Till I talk to your husband or your wife. They'll tell me. Doesn't take long. Schoolmaster, schoolmaster, what are you teaching me, schoolmaster? You need a Savior. That's what he's teaching you. You better get that Savior. Oh, he's necessary. Because you will not keep the law. The law will burn you. The law will bring you guilty. The law will condemn you as a sinner. And every time I read the law, I say, yep, I'm guilty of that. Yep, I'm guilty of that. We'll go back and read the Ten Commandments and Exodus. Oh, yeah, I'm guilty of that. Yeah, maybe I haven't done it overtly for 50 years, but I've thought it. According to what Jesus said, if it's in your mind, well, it's you're still guilty. It's not the same as doing it. Hey, fellas, think about a lot of things you don't do. Don't do them just because you think about them. There's a few times in these last 50 years I've wanted to knock somebody's block off. I really did. But I have not had a fight since the day I got saved. I did have a fight the day I got saved. But I have not had a fight since after that day. And I have been tempted by a few deacons, to tell you the truth. Oh, yeah. And a few preachers tell you something else. And every once in a while, I'm sort of like Jackie Gleason. One of these days, I'm going to send you to the moon. But I don't do it. That doesn't mean I'm guiltless because I thought it. And oh, I've had hate in my heart a few times. You ever had any hate in your heart? Oh, I've had hate. I've had more hate in my heart after I got saved than I ever did before I got saved. Well, you're sure a wicked Christian, aren't you? Yeah. I'm a more honest one than most of you. Yeah. I didn't know what hate was till I got saved and a sergeant decided he was going to rub my nose in it to stop me from witnessing. I would pray. I'd say, Lord, let him lose his temper. I want him to hit me first. And then I will kill him. I'm a Christian praying that way. And he keeps rubbing my nose in it. Every dirty detail, everything come up. He was rubbing my nose. He was doing his best to, because he was lost and I was witness to him. We were friends before I got saved. And one day, this went on for several months. I'm sitting at the breakfast table. Merlene's fixed me breakfast. I'm getting ready to go to work. And a conviction came across me. You've been saved. You're going to heaven. This poor guy is lost. He's going to hell. He was your friend. And you're praying a prayer like that. You're praying so that you can just clean his plow. I said, Lord, forgive me. And it just came across me. I felt forgiven. I walked out, went to work. They called a meeting of all the drivers. I'm sitting way back on the back against on the floor against the wall. And that tech sergeant stood up and said, all you guys are a bunch of hypocrites. Only real Christian I know is Lendell Kincaid. You believe that? I sat there. I just prayed that morning. For 3 months we've been going at it. I've been praying, let him go. He's grinding me and I wasn't about to hit him first. I don't like jail. I figured I could defend myself, and if I got overzealous and killed him, well, no big deal. But I get under conviction, and that morning, and I confess it to my wife, I'm wrong. I've got a bad spirit in me. This is not the spirit of Christ. I'm wrong. And I said, God, forgive me. I'm wrong. And that morning, and everything changed. Really changed. I'll tell you what. I'm an heir. I'm the seed. All those promises back there in the Old Testament to the seed, that's me. Because Christ is in me and Christ is the seed. So, I needed a schoolmaster. You know, I still need that schoolmaster. The law is not wrong or bad. Nothing wrong with you reading the law. Trusting the law to get you to heaven, now that's bad. But the law is not bad. You know what the law tells me? What God expects in righteousness. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not covet. Don't you fight those same things still? Some of you have been saved almost as long as I have. Maybe some of you more. Longer. Don't you still fight covetousness? They put that new car on the thing, you think, well, you know, my tires are dirty. I'm really in need of a new car. And you know, they tell me if I don't get down there soon, they're all going to be gone. I have never gone on a lot where they didn't have a whole bunch of cars I could buy. The heir, as long as he is a child, differs nothing but from a servant, though he be Lord of all. Okay, so you're saved. Okay, so you're king. Okay, so Christ lives in you. You're a son of God and an heir of heaven. You still need some tutoring. And praise God, the law can still tutor you. When you begin to think you're pretty righteous, go back and read the Ten Commandments out of Exodus, or then go into Matthew, Mark, or Luke, and read Jesus' summation of them in two in the New Testament. First, love God supremely. Second, love your neighbor as yourself. Back in 2003, I bought myself a new car. I didn't buy you one, did I, brother? I don't love you as much as I love me. Isn't that right? And some of you bought a new car this year, Mr. Jones. You didn't buy me one. You don't love me as much as you love you. Isn't that the truth? But you see, we need to be reminded all the time, because we begin to forget and think we're pretty righteous. You're not near as righteous as you think you are. You're not as pure as you think you are. You may have fooled yourself, but that's because you're not reading the law much. You have given up your schoolmaster. I don't care if you're an heir. You're a son. You're going to inherit. You're going to reign. You still need to be taught the school book every once in a while. Come back to it. He's under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the father. Now, who makes the decision as to when you don't have to go to the tutor any longer? You don't have to go to the teacher any longer. You don't have to go to school any longer. It's the father. It's not you. I know we got a bunch of dumb kids that think they don't need to be taught, and so they're making the decision today. I don't need education. I don't need school. What if you got a big basketball contract for $50 million? Well, I could say quit school. You can go back to school when you're 30, living off the millions that you've already made just by signing the contract. I can understand the reasoning in that. But most of you, you need school. You need to stay there. You may be going to be Lord of a whole lot, but you still be under governors and tutors. Even so, when we were children, we're in bondage under the elements of the world. Boy, isn't that the truth? Gravity just keeps working against me. Yeah. Whole lot of other things. The elements of this world, it costs money to live. You know why most of us work? We might not work if it didn't cost money to live. Young people get married. Somebody will get married pretty soon. And they're in love. They are in love. I mean, it's just oozing out of them. But do you know what? They can't live on love. Sooner or later, somebody has to wash the dishes. Sooner or later, somebody has to get up and go to work. Or the gas gets cut off and the electricity gets cut off and they throw you out of the apartment. We're driven to work by the elements of this world. We're driven to a whole lot of things. It's a necessity. God meant for it to be. And the truth is, work's good for us. Some of the most bored people in the world, these people are so rich they don't have to work. That's not necessarily the best life. There's some good things about it. I'd rather be rich than broke. But I'd rather be in between. Give me neither poverty nor riches. In poverty, well, I might do something bad and steal. In riches, I know I'd be proud and blaspheme the Lord. Even so, when we were children, we're in bondage under the elements of the world. But, verse 4, when the fullness of time was come, I wonder how many Old Testament prophets prayed for the time to come and thought God was late. God, why don't you hear us? How about those Jews down there in bondage in Egypt crying? I imagine they cried not just in the last of that 400 years. I'll bet you all the way through there were sincere, honest people crying to God, won't you deliver us? Where's our deliverer? Where is our Moses? Had to go through 400 years, generation after generation after generation. When the fullness of time was come, I personally never thought I'd be this age. I never thought I'd live this long. I thought the Lord would come before I ever had to face 65 or the year 2000. Man. I disappointed a whole lot of people, man. Those kids, Christy tells me, said, I just scared to death the way you preached because I wanted to have babies and she's been having them. But she was a little girl coming to my church and I'm telling them, the Lord's coming. You better be prepared. I think he's late. I'm teasing. That'd be blasphemy, wouldn't it? I think he's late. He's been late for a lot of people, but for himself. When the fullness of time was come, when it was the right time to come, he came. Now, you and I criticize God all the time. We're real smart. We walk out and say we don't have enough rain, or we say we have too much rain. Or we say it's too hot, or we say it's too cold. Do you know who you're criticizing? I know you don't think about it. You think you're criticizing the weatherman. You think you're making small talk. I was down in Uvalde preaching revival meeting. I had to have something done to my car. And I'm sitting outside this mechanic shop, and this old man, probably younger than me now, sat down beside me. I said, well, what do you think the weather's going to do? And he looked at me and he says, I ain't no fool and ain't no newcomer. Only a fool or a newcomer would predict weather in Uvalde, Texas. I've thought about that time and time and time again. Oh, we make a lot of mistakes thinking we're not criticizing God, but we're criticizing God. You're so worried about your life, you think you ought to change it to where it's the way you want it. Well, when the fullness of time was come, God finally got done what was supposed to be done. Do you think God made a mistake? I don't think He made a mistake. I don't think He was late by 1 minute. He was late according to your standards. He was late like my children were, little kids. I want it now, I want it now, I want it now. Well, you can't have it now. Ah! And that's just what you're still doing. I want it now, I want it now, I want it now, I want it now. Why have you done this for me, God? Well, you're just like a child. When the right time comes, and I don't believe anybody will know it. You know, 88 reasons why Christ is going to come in 1988. Do you reckon that guy missed his prophecy? You know what? The next year he wrote 89 reasons why God's going to come in 89. He probably sold a bunch of them books too to a bunch of idiots. I don't believe anybody's going to know. So if somebody says, God's coming in 2007, that's a for sure thing. He ain't coming in 2007. He's not going to let you be right. He's going to slip up to you like a thief. He's going to come as a thief in the night and catch out the jewels, catch out all that's precious in this world. You're not going to know it. When the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law. He's the virgin-born Son of God. He fulfills the prophecy to Eve in the third chapter of Genesis. Her seed is going to bruise the serpent's head. How many years? 4,000 years, at least. 4,000 years. And the fullness of time came. God's timetable isn't your timetable. You ever notice how when we're young, we're very foolish about time? And we always want to... I remember I could not wait to be 21 years old. Because you weren't a man until you were 21. Couldn't get any credit, some jobs you couldn't get, a lot of things you couldn't do. You weren't 21. Well, I was married at 18. That's 3 years. Of supporting a family, buying everything, paying everything, working. But I wasn't a man. And then after that, I think it's a couple of months has happened since I was 21, and here I am. And some of you are in such a rush right now, you just, I got to get out, I got to go, I got to do, I got to do. You might ought to wait on God a little bit. Might ought to trust Him. When the fullness of time was come, when it was the right time, Christ came. He wasn't late one day. Try to tell yourself that when you get in a real rush about something. When you pray and God hasn't answered your prayer that week. Somebody says, why go to prayer meeting? God doesn't ever answer my prayers. Well, if you don't go to prayer meeting, He probably won't answer. If you don't spend some time praying, He doesn't have anything to answer, does He? But when you pray, does He have to answer you that week or in your timetable? He didn't do it in anybody else's timetable. Not on the coming of Christ. Not on the fulfilling of the seed. And so He doesn't have to fulfill it for you either. God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law. That's a beautiful thing. God didn't just cancel the law. He didn't just write it off. He fulfilled it. Had Christ born under the law, He fulfills that law, the one man that ever did it. There are no other Saviors. Because there never was another man without sin to make that sacrifice. And on the cross of Calvary, there the sinless Son of God paid the price for your sins. And that's how we have this great salvation. Now, verse 5, to redeem them that were under the law that we might receive the adoption of sons. Why did Christ do what He did? To pay the law so we don't have a debt hanging over our heads. I know some of you are really in debt. You're in debt up to your eyeballs. You don't know how you're going to make your bills the next month, and there's a whole lot of people in that situation today, and it's terrible. I had an old friend call me just a month or so ago. Owed $100,000 on credit card debt. Well, you and I had a bigger debt than that. Our debt was so staggering. If you started right now and lived perfect the rest of the way, you still would be staggering in debt. Because you owed God so much. There was so much wrath to come upon you. There was so much payback that needed to come your way. There was so much that you had done. And the only way to do is pay the debt. And that's what Christ did. On the cross of Calvary, the wrath of all the times I took the name of the Lord in vain, of all the times I lusted, of all the times I hated, all the times I mistreated, all the times I sinned in 1,000 different ways. And you know what? He not only paid that, He paid on all my future sins. Everything I've done for the last 50 years since I was saved, all that went on Christ too. All sin. All sin. Every believer, every sin you ever committed or ever could commit was placed on Christ. Don't brag on your church. Don't brag on your preacher. Brag on Jesus. He's the one. And by the way, you think somebody thought this up? Listen to the religions of the world that people think up. Study them a little bit. They don't compare. I know they brag on them. And we got a hold of a cab driver in Washington, and he was a militant Muslim. And the whole time we're in there, we just didn't. Verlene was trying to get him. I gave up on him. I just spout, what do you want to spout? Just get me to where I want to go. Verlene is after him. Boom, boom, and he's going back and forth, you know. He wasn't going to listen to anybody. Oh, how great the Koran was. How great Muslim was. The poor guy doesn't know how really stupid what he has is. God thought this up. Amen. The best people in the world didn't think it up. The philosophers of the world never figured it out. God thought it up. And once you see it, how you could ever go back, that's what he's writing to Galatians. Did I put labor out on you in vain? Once you've seen the gospel of Jesus Christ, the complete payment of the Son of God, the absolute salvation simply by believing, and you turn back to keeping the law? You can't have seen it. It's just too great. And that's what he's talking to them about. Oh, it's a beautiful thing. To redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Now notice something else. Not just that we'd be saved from the power of hell, punishment of hell, the horrors of hell. And believe me, that was my number one motivating force when I got saved. I know some of you, it was the love of God. That's great. I wasn't that spiritual. I wasn't that wise. I was scared of hell. One of my friends took my truck, blew up, and died a year before I got saved. And I had a year to think about that was my truck. I was actually called for that run, and that could have been me. And I begin to think, well, maybe I'm not as good as I thought I was. Maybe I'm not as safe as I thought I was. Maybe I ought to get serious about this. I was scared of hell. I did not want to go to hell. Look what he's doing. He's not just saving you from hell, as important as that may be. And it's very important in my mind. I'm sure it's important in some of your minds. He's making me a son. He didn't just save me from hell so that I could be a servant or a slave. He didn't just save me from hell so that I could just be in His great kingdom. He saved me to make me His son. You know what sonship is? Oh, that's a fantastic thing, sonship. I know some of you had some bad families, some bad parents, not good examples. Ah, but there are some real good examples out there. There are some great fathers and great mothers. Thank God for them. And you know, being a son, I would never dream of walking up to your house. Don's been my friend for 40-something years. I would not walk up to Don's house and just open the door and say, "Get ready, I'm coming in." Why? He's a good friend, but he's a friend. But my daddy's house, any time of the day or night, I can walk in and look in the refrigerator, pick out what I want. And my mother and my daddy would say, "Well, if it's not here..." I know what they did with my boys when they were teenagers. They'd go over to visit Grandma. She'd say, "I don't have enough ice cream. Would you take my car and go to the store and here's some money and buy some ice cream?" Sonship. Oh, sonship's a wonderful thing. And that's what we have with God. We don't have just a little lawyer paying our debts. We don't just have somebody that's trying to be a do-gooder. We don't just have somebody who's trying to get us suckered into this system or something to make them more money, like a lot of these selling schemes. You know, "I want you to sell this. It's a great thing to sell. And everything you sell, I get a part of. And the next fellow behind me gets a part of, and gets a part of." And no. He's going to make me a son. He's going to make you a son. You're going to have a relationship with God completely different than what all the religions of the world can think about. These Muslim car bombers, you know, suicide workers, are going to get 72 virgins. What do the women get? I've been trying to figure out what the women, the advantage to the women of this car bombing thing, suicide bombing. I haven't figured it out. You think of all the different schemes they have in the world, different as you do certain things to ward off evil spirits. These readers, the religion of these readers, and you know some of our presidents and leaders of society, why, they were into these mediums. Hitler was into the mediums. And then you compare that to Christianity. Compare that to what Galatians teaches. It's a beautiful book. It's absolutely necessary. It needs to be taught over and over again in this generation. Because once you see the picture He's given you here, you'll never have any value for any of those other religions. They mean nothing. They're absolutely worthless. They do you no good in this life. They will do you no good in the next. You die outside of Jesus Christ, you've lost it all. Christ is worth everything. We sometimes hear about people that lose everything to be saved. They get saved, their family deserts them. I've known of men, their wives left them. Wives where their husbands have left them. Children where their whole parents had a funeral service. "My son is dead." Still worth it. There's nothing so important as becoming a son of God by faith in Jesus Christ. Wow. Now look at verse 6. Because you're sons, you are sons. You notice the statement there? Because you are sons? Wait a minute. I'm a son? Yeah, I got rights. Yes, I've got privilege. I've got position. Because ye are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son, Jesus, into your hearts. You know why it's so natural for you to say, Father? He is your Father. And the Spirit of Christ rests inside of you. So you have the legitimate claim. You are a son of God. And you call God Abba, Father. Father is just a translation of Abba, which is the word that they used. Like we call Papa, Papaw, Pop, Dad. I didn't call my dad the old man. Not in front of him anyway. He was an old man, but I didn't call him by his first name either. I didn't say, Eddie. I had some neighbors that did. Everybody called themselves by the first name. All the kids, all the parents, everything. It was a first name basis. All of it. It was just strange to me because we didn't do that. But you know what? I can call God Father. He is my Father. He's my Father because Christ entered into me, and Christ is the seed, the heir of all the promises to Abraham. Now then, I have become an heir to all the promises of Abraham and a son of God just like Christ. That's beautiful. If you ever get it into your head, all this other religion will be pure foolishness to you. Mumbling and putting incense and spreading things and throwing water different places and making incantations. It's garbage. It doesn't do anything except psychologically to the human mind. But bless your heart, when you come to die, it'll be no help. I think any religion that gives you some comfort in this life has a little bit of value. But not much if it's not going to help you when you die. Far as I'm concerned, the real test of your religion is not how well you lived. It's how well you die. What happens to you when you die and after you die? It doesn't matter if you're poor down here. It doesn't matter if you're despised down here. What you need is something that will save you from the fires of hell and exalt you to the throne room of God Almighty, where you walk in as sons. Not just servants, not just preachers, not just obedient. No, sons. Heirs of Abraham's promise. Wow. If you ever see it, I don't see how you could ever go back to religion. God bless you.